Okay. I just need my stuff. That's okay. I'm going to ask Andrew and Jackie Bardsley and Katie Bardsley to come up to the... Oh, you're right up front here. Look at you guys. Come and take a seat. Glad I'm not wearing mine either there. I'll get you a mic. Just over here. Europe. So, yeah, it's absolutely great to have the three of you back, and Courtney's here too, and Tessa. Did we see Georgia here this morning? She's at Karori this morning, isn't she? That's right. For those of you who may not know, the Bardsleys have been a very important part of our church for a long time. Courtney being youth pastor, Andrew being an elder, Jackie being our children's minister, Katie just involved in young adults and youth leadership, Tessa and both Georgia still helping out, leading with the youth as well. As a family, they've just been an integral part of our community. And over the last couple of years, we've seen them take off, literally take off, and head out into the mission field. And it's really good to have you guys back. And this morning, I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. And I want to start with you, Katie. How's this past year been for you?
Morning. I'm not preaching on Revelation.
Wrong slides, guys. there we go.
So the past year I've been living mostly in Chiang Mai, which is in the north of Thailand. Because I'm my parents' favourite daughter, they moved up to live with me. We're all working for an organisation called Partners Relief and Development. We work with people who are from Burma or Myanmar, and both inside Thailand and in Burma. My role specifically has been to teach mental health. For 4 months last year, I was in Burma teaching mental health in a medical program that Partners has been running up there. So that's teaching students between the ages of about 17 to 30 in a 1 to 3 year medical program. So it's very basic medical training, but it's been growing over the last 8 years, and it means that the people in their states, once they go back to their villages, they're able to provide medical care for those villages that might not otherwise be accessing it. So that picture is my class. So, well, the guys up the front, they're my students, and the rest of them are actually high school students. So we had the opportunity to go. My students taught the high school students, which was great to see once they've been learning the skills they need to be able to teach it to the villagers. So the high school is a great place to practice that. The next picture is graduation. So since I saw you guys last in October, the students have all graduated, so they love their ceremonies. So we had a big closing ceremony. We saw the pig being killed the morning of, and then ate it that night. Those are some of the second year students and first year students. And Dr. Allison is she's from Gisborne. She and her husband Ken have been working up there for about 8 years. In the last picture. Oh yeah. That's just student. So I've also taken on the role of managing our health department. So that's three people groups we have health projects with. So the Karen people, they're bordering Thailand, but slightly south. And then north of that is Shan State. And then in Bangladesh, we're working with the Rohingya. So I've also been doing a bit of travelling, trying to learn about the projects that we have so that I can manage them.
So What have you learned about God through all of this?
Well, I normally struggle to hear from God. I'm not a missionary who's been felt super holy or like I've had a massive calling or anything, but I have been reflecting and thinking about how I've seen God in the retrospect, and it seems to be much clearer than in the future. So there's been a number of different things that, starting off my life in Thailand, were difficulties. I was concerned about raising enough money to live over there. I was concerned about who my students were going to be. I was concerned about my teaching ability. I'm trained as a social worker, not as a teacher. So there were lots of things I was concerned about, but on reflection and looking back at that, God's actually provided so much more than I've needed in that. And so I think a simple answer is God's been teaching me to trust him in those things, which has been good, because I think I don't know that this year is going to be any easier, but being able to look back and see that God's provided more than enough in those circumstances is encouraging.
Mm. So when do you head back?
So Tessa gets married in 2 weeks, and so I'll be heading back 2 days after that.
Wow. And that leads me to Mum and Dad. How's things been? Give us an update. What's happened the last year?
So we also live in Chiang Mai, alongside Katie. Not with Katie. We give her. She has her own space in her own apartment, but we get to see her most days if she's not travelling, which is great. My role is in strengthening families, which is kind of a new project for partners. And so I'm starting off with doing some parenting courses. I've done about 3 different parenting courses in contexts with migrants or refugees from Myanmar. And I think those, yes, that's a couple more photos just to show the different contexts that I've been able to work in. I also have been able to do a little bit of English teaching, and Andrew and I have done quite a bit of hospitality, having people coming through our home and having them for meals. We have a lot of volunteers that come to Partners, so we like to take an interest in them and help to look after them. So that's what I've been up to.
I've been filling in gaps wherever needed, so doing a whole range of things from the hospitality, been mentoring some of the young guys, lots of volunteers come through. Claire and Doug spoke a few weeks ago, so I help out Claire with the strategy development and HR planning and risk planning and leadership and management teaching, so lots of different ways, but one of the things I loved doing is helping out with some of the relief trips. So most of the work that Partners does is in other places. So one of these places is in with the Rohingya group that Katie talked about in Western Burma. So a couple of years ago, there was lots of ethnic fighting. 700,000 people, it's a lot of people, fled into neighbouring Bangladesh, which is not the greatest of places to go to. And there's a lot of people, and they're largely in refugee camps. This is one of the camps that we visit. There's a little place called Cox's Bazaar, which is a town on the closest town to these camps. And it was a small town, but it's probably now got about 100,000 people all clustered around it. Because they're not in a camp, they don't get any help. So Partners does lots of amazing work around Cox's Bazaar. So we have set up 5 schools and run 5 schools there. And one more. So this is an example of one of the schools in operation. The stories of these kids is just heart-wrenching, and for them to get an education like this and to kind of receive love, it's kind of special that we do that. And the next one. So one day, our really good friend, Fran, who works for Partners, he was approached by the teacher that we had. This is the teacher, and she said, come with me. And they went through, walking through the alleyways into an even poorer part of town, a tidal part of town. So that means where the houses are built, where at high tide there's water underneath them, sort of like mud flats. And through the it's pretty desperate. Comes to the little shack, which is a bit lower than the others, so that means at high tide, the water is inside the hut. The hut's about the size of a single bed, and on the bed is an old lady who's disabled, and she can't walk. And it's pretty desperate. She lives by her neighbours occasionally throwing some scraps into the hut. So the teacher said, she reached out, she took a risk with France, quite a big deal for her to do what she did, and she said, can you help? Can you help this lady? And it's like, what do you do in that situation? How can you help someone? But we arrange for a house to be built. This is the house. The man here is one of our key contacts. He's he's just an awesome man. And we bought her a bed, and I guess she had the basics of life, but she didn't have love. She didn't have someone looking after her. And how do you find, in a place of desperation, someone to look after, someone that needy? So this man's daughter, who was also one of our teachers, she's about 18 years old, so she's got no formal tertiary education. She's been educated through one of our schools, but she's teaching. And she said, I will look after her, which is changing her life forever. But she's showing God's love in a desperate place. And that story, for me, just touched me. And Jeff Brandt, Jeff's here, I think, he gave me this book to read called Tattoos on the Heart, which is just a fantastic book. I'm only halfway through because it's so good. But one part of it is talking about the sacredness of God in each of us. And this woman has the sacredness of God in her. And we all have that. And what is that? It's God's life in all of us. And I guess this was a story for me that was responding to the sacredness of God in this lady. And that setting, it was really special for me. And sort of illustrates little snippets of some of what we do.
So now that you've been there a while, do you feel that you are now called to Thailand?
That's really hard. I'm giving it to Jackie.
I think our call has been a gradual sort of growing sense of something, a new season that God is calling us to. So it hasn't been to a specific place or a specific time. It was just a sense of getting ready for something new. So we kind of tied up our jobs and our home situation here and got ready to do whatever the next thing was, and we still don't really have a very clear vision of what that was, but God just seems to reveal small steps gradually, one at a time, and that's what it's been like for us these last 2 years. We got a word from somebody shared with us that before we went away that Andrew and I were standing in front of five doors and that we were going to look through or step through five different doors. So it's been interesting because there's kind of been an element of a lot of variety in what God is calling us to do, and maybe also an element of choice for us to be able to explore and choose what it is that God's calling us to. Yeah.
Calling is a really interesting word. You know, what's God's calling on your life, and has He called you to do this specific thing? And I guess we wrestled quite a lot with where we're called to Thailand. And we know that we're called. We know that we're called to follow Jesus. We're all called to follow Jesus and to be Jesus in this world. That's our combined calling. But within that, what does that actually look like? Are we called to Nehemiah, we called to build the wall. Right? You know, what's our version of the wall? We did a David Riddell course, Living Wisdom, and he had this really neat picture of God's guidance. And he said, God's guidance isn't like a tightrope over shark-infested waters. And one step off that tightrope, and you're in hell. That isn't a loving God. That's a fearful, constrained view of God's vastness. He's just His view of guidance. He gives you His creation and His world, His playground, to have an adventure in. He wants you to enjoy what He's given you. He wants you to use your skills and your resources and your brains to serve him in that world. He's given us so much guidance about what to do to feed the orphan, to look after the widow, to visit the prisoners, to look after each other. We all know that we need to be doing that. The five doors, there was no wrong door for us in terms of guidance. Sometimes within that playground, God gives you a wall. He says, speak to this person, do this job. Sometimes there are the specifics. And where he doesn't have those specifics, he's just on your side, cheering you on as you're living for him. And it's like, oh, I like that version of guidance. I like that version of calling. And I think that's what we're doing. We would say for us specifically, we're called into this season when we're available for God in a new and a different way. And we know that we're called to bless others and to support others in what they're doing. And I guess we take a lot of heart because that's when we look at the last 2 years, that's what we've been doing.
And so what does this year look like for you both?
I think for me this year is going to look like us being based in Thailand, but me maybe spending a little bit more time in New Zealand because my parents are in a season where, and actually Andrew's mother as well, are in a season where I would like to be able to offer them a bit more support. So, we're kind of trying to figure out what that looks like, but it might mean that my presence in New Zealand is a bit more than it has been.
So I'm kind of going back to what I was doing. There'll be some changes for me in that I'm working for partners, but they kind of lend me out to some other NGOs, and I expect to do that a little bit more and trying to wrestle with what I've learned in New Zealand, what I'm learning overseas can be used not just for partners but for other mission organisations as well.
Mm. Thank you so much for your time, and I know that in a couple of weeks I think you'll be sharing through Global Focus on Pastor David, which will be really interesting for our church to hear. But can I pray for you, all three of you, as you're gearing back up to figuring out what Open Door you're through now. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Katie, for Andrew, for Jackie, for their hearts in wanting to seek you out and serve you, Lord, for taking that bold step of faith in trusting you, Lord, with their lives to go wherever it is that you lead them, Lord. I pray especially for Katie as she heads back in a couple of weeks, as she heads back into a situation that, who knows what's happening, Lord. We've got so much going on in the world around us and how that might impact her little corner where you've called her to be. I pray you empower her and strengthen her, keep her safe, Lord, and Holy Spirit, guide her as she does your work there in Thailand and in Burma. For Andrew and Jackie, we lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray again just clarity and direction in their lives. I pray for their family as well as daughter getting married and, mum and dad not feeling too well. I pray the blessing on them as they deal with that and cope with that, along with the mission that you already have for them there in Thailand. Continue to guide them and lead them and bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody here said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. It's interesting having a conversation with Andrew and Jackie and Katie this week and talking about calling and kind of revisiting where we're at in our series. There's this thing about our God that sometimes we can overthink or, take a little too seriously. And Andrew's done a really good job of kind of explaining what that calling means. It's we're waiting for the exactness of where to go and what to do or what job to take or who to marry, all these things that we really want the security or assurance of. And yet sometimes God wants to give us that responsibility. In Revelation chapter 3, it says this: write this to Philadelphia, to the angel of the church, the holy, the true, David's key in his hand, opening doors no one can lock, locking doors no one can open. He speaks, I see what you've done. Now see what I have done. I've opened the door before you that no one can slam shut. You don't have much strength, I know that. You used what you had to keep my word. You didn't deny me when times were rough. This idea of an open door. Sometimes we don't really stop to think about it. God doesn't push us through an open door. He doesn't have this invisible hand that goes through the door and grabs us and pulls us through. He opens doors. As one famous author wrote, we have a God of open doors. A God who loves to open doors in our lives and loves for us to make the call to walk through it. But here's the problem. When we are confronted with open doors, what's our reaction? I'm not good enough. Are we sure we should be doing this? Maybe we need to pray more. The biggest question I get a lot is, where are we going to get the money from? You know? Or people who want details. I need to know what's on the other side of that door. How is this going to work? How is this going to happen? But the thing about open doors, the thing that we forget sometimes when it comes to open doors, is that it actually isn't about us. The open door is not actually about us. I'm going to ask you some questions. Whose mission is it? It's God's mission. It's God's mission. It's not actually about us. He wants to use us, but it's actually His mission. And what's the mission? Yeah? Can we sum it up in one word? Go? That's a good one. I'll sum it up in one word. The blessing of knowing that there is a God that loves you, a blessing that people aren't on their own, that there is hope, that there is purpose. We are called to bless people. Bless them with the knowledge that there is a God that cares, that loves. Whose mission is it? It's God's mission. What's the mission about? To bless. And where does this mission happen? Right where you are. Open doors don't open further down the road. They don't open over the next valley. They usually open up right where you are. And when do we get onto this mission? Congratulations, today is the day. God is a God of open doors. And when we hear Andrew and Jackie and Katie talking about this story, you know, I remember when the three of them made that decision to go, and there was a whole lot of, I felt it for them. You're leaving work and friends behind and family. Where are you going? I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there. I just see an open door. Oh my goodness, what's wrong with these people? That is just so countercultural. Are you really going to do that? You're going to let everything behind and just go? Well, the door's open. I'm asked to go through it. I don't know what's on the other side, but I'm sure I'll see it when I get there. Because it's actually not about me, it's about God's mission. And if I'm out there blessing people, then I'm doing it. Open doors have a way of challenging our perspective. When we respond to open doors, there's a natural tendency in us to react. Why? How? What are we going to do? What? I need to know a plan here. I can't just work off the cuff, Lord. Come on, write it down for me. It changes our perspective because we have to trust that God is at work. Abraham had a mission to go to Canaan, leaving behind his inheritance, his family, everything that was established in a land that he knew so well, to go to a place he had no idea about. Moses was happily living in the desert, looking after sheep. He was 80 years old, and all of a sudden he's told to go to Egypt and save his people. He never thought he had either the ability, the strength, or the intelligence, or the gift, or anything to go over there and do it, but God opened a door and he walked straight through. It challenges our perspective. Last year, our perspectives were challenged as a church. We were approached by Reading Cinemas to say, hey, we see we can do a good job here, but we've got to do it quick. And I remember, and the staff can tell you, I had all those questions. Are we sure? I don't know what to do. Details, what are the details? How are we going to make this work? And the biggest one, where's the money going to come from? But the staff looked at me and said, this is an open door. And when you walk through an open door, everything changes. Everything changes. Andrew and Jackie are not the same people they were when they left. Katie is not the same person that she was when she left. Because when we walk through open doors, things change. Our perspective changes. As a church, we've embraced a lot of change. And this morning I want to share with you some of those changes. The first one is I want to get Gareth up and he's going to talk to you very quickly about our new logo.
Hi, church. Thanks, Pastor Rob. Hey, you see up on the screen, we've been using it for a little bit here, a logo that we as a staff team collaboratively have landed on. Now, design is a funny thing. It's always subjective. You know, you're not going to please everyone. But we've come up with something that as a team we're actually really happy with. Now, the first thing I want to draw your attention is to the text, Hutt City Baptist Church, Te Hahi Iri Iri o Te Awakairangi. One of the things I heard when I first came here as to Hutt City Baptist Church is that the word church didn't used to be part of the name, did it? But it was important for the family to actually to bring it back in the name. And when we were thinking about who are we, the predominant word that was important to us is the fact that we're a church. It's not our branding, it's not our logo that's important. It's that we're actually the people of Christ. And so it was really important for us that above anything else, that we are church. We are Baptist. But for many of us here, you're not here because we're a Baptist church, but because we're a church. And so it was really important that church was central. For us, this is a start, but we're aware that we are going on a bicultural journey. We've got a long way to go, to grow and to learn. But it was important that we acknowledge the place where we are, Te Awakairangi. And Te Hahi Iri Iri is the Baptist Church of Te Awakairangi. Now, up the top, we ended up for logo. Now, when we're thinking about logo, there are a couple of things that were important to us. We've had this pervading vision statement that has been here at the front, and we're working on this at the meantime, but it's strong in faith, rich in love, released in action, and we've flipped that around a bit at the meantime. But the idea of three different streams going on in our church was important. So something that captured that. We live in a valley that has a beautiful river going through it. And one of the things that really jumped up about this image at the top is you've got the hills, you've got the river, and you've got the city. And this is us as a church. It was important for me that we wanted to have a sense of movement. We're a church moving forward. We're moving into new things. And the wave-like feel captures a bit of that. Another thing that really jumped out to us about this image is the vision that was spoken over Hutt City Baptist Church of being a well and being a waterfall, which we've captured out the front with the blue in the building and the design, but how we want to be a blessing, how we want God to be at work in and through us to be a blessing to others. And the sense of water, the sense of movement was important. We also could see in it Father, Son, Spirit. And particularly, you almost get an image of a dove working in there as well. And don't we want to be a church open to the working of the Holy Spirit? So those are just a few things of how we ended up here. But it felt good. It felt good. It felt good that it represented something of who we are, of some of the desires we wanted to go forward. And Rob.
So going through an open door required us to actually look at ourselves. And then we came up with this idea of upside-down church. We had always looked at it as being strong in faith, rich in love, released in action. And to be frank with you, it looked like we did these two really, really well. And this one, which I actually think we do very well, because I actually know how much work you all do outside of church. But I thought, actually, we're flipping everything upside down. We're moving all the ministries down to the front. And I felt we need to flip what we do. So with our new logo, we've kind of renamed some of the words that you might have seen floating around a bit. The first one is outreach. A people guided by the Holy Spirit to be empowered and released in action to bring God's light, truth, love, and hope to our communities. The community that you live in, the community that you work in, the community that you find yourself engaging with. You're empowered by God. Outreach being number one, and connection being number two. The people are transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ to be rich in love and intentional in unity. We're not asking for conformity. We don't want to all be the same. But we are going to be challenged by being one in Christ. And how does that work? Outreach, connection. And lastly, but just as important as all the other two, we're really going to start working hard on discipleship. A people who are strong in faith by going deeper in God's word. And all of these three, this is our calling as God's church. The door has been opened, we've walked through, and this is what we've seen on the other side. God is a God of open doors. Open doors are not about us. Open doors challenge our perspective. And open doors are about opportunities, not guarantees. We don't know what's going to happen here. We don't know how this is going to work out. It's interesting. God is more concerned about the person I become than the circumstances I inhabit. He's more concerned about who we're becoming as his community rather than what we have and even what we do. And part of that is being able to trust him. I find it real funny because, not just here, but every church I've been a part of, I hear people who tell me, I don't have peace about this, Rob. I'm not convinced. Let me just tell you, on this side of the open door, there rarely is peace. But let me tell you, you go through that open door, and it is there that you'll encounter God's peace. Faced with open doors, our natural reaction is to step away. We're never at peace with it because we wrestle with it. Moses was not happy about going back to Egypt. In fact, he asked if he could get his, Aaron, his brother, to do the work for him. But when we get to Egypt, who's doing all the talking? You hardly ever hear from Aaron again. Before he took the step, he was worried. When he was through the open door, he knew what he had to do. You have come to this place. You've been a part of this community. And as we have opened, or as we have gone through an open door, we are faced also with the question of what does it mean to be part of this church community? What does it mean now for us to be a part of this community? If you've grabbed a study note for this morning, you'll see there's five action points. Five action points that we want to challenge you with this morning. The first one is Sunday morning service. If you've come to become a part of this community, this is actually an important part of our church life. It's the one time we are all gathered here together. It's the one time we raise up one voice in worship to God. It's the one time in the week where we're intentional about stopping together and acknowledging who our God is and how important He is in our lives. Now, you might look around at the moment and you might see a few empty seats. But let me tell you, one of the things that we're struggling with on a Sunday morning is that we've actually got quite a few people here. It's a good thing. Some of you are like, oh, really? What are all these people doing here? I don't know. It's a good thing. But the struggle that we've got is, what if we have too many people? If we had the kids in here at this point, this place would look really full. Keith, who does our numbers, he says, hey, Rob, on the books, we've got about 330 people who are regulars, people we know. And if they all came at the same time, we'd be in trouble. He says, there's another 80-odd people, or 70 to 80-odd people on top of that, that kind of come and go. And if they all came too, there'd be no room. And that's just adults. So some of the changes that we've been trying to do on a Sunday morning, and it's not being successful this morning, it's my fault, is trying to reduce the time, because we have to start being challenged about what does Sunday morning look like for us as we grow. Now, for we as a staff, we live with this. We think about this weekly. But we want to engage with you all. What does Sunday morning service, what's it going to look like as we grow? Because believe it or not, we're growing. Do we go to two services? Do we just keep the kids downstairs for the whole time? If we do that, we need to shorten the service a bit so that they're not down there an hour and a half. But if we go to two services, we'd still have to shorten the services anyway. So Rob, you have to talk really quickly. Okay? Because you're letting us down here. Point two. Sunday morning service is really important for us. If you're part of our community, this is something you hold dearly. Just like spiritual growth, we want to provide whatever opportunity that you can have to grow spiritually. And that part is actually your responsibility. You need to be intentional about growing in your faith. We'll provide you life groups. We're starting a Sunday evening service tonight. That is to help you grow, along with doing some other things that I'll share with you in a moment. Some of you are part of other groups that are really intentional about helping. I know the quilting group, all they do is quilt. Is that? That's right, right? It's quilting, sewing things. But they're actually a life group. They're intentional about caring for one another. They're intentional about walking alongside one another. So what do you have in your life? What are you doing? Each week, intentionally growing in your faith journey. The other thing is serving. This is not something we're not good at. We're really good at this. A lot of us here work quite a lot for the church. But then again, a lot of us also don't. Part of being a part of a community is serving. Just one area. Just one area we ask that you do. As you're part of our community here now, these three things are really important. There's a fourth thing, and I know it's really hard. I'm not going to go into a deep sermon about why it's important, but let me tell you, ministries need finances to keep going. Staff need to be paid. We need your financial support. If not, we're not doing this. It's as simple as that. I can give you a biblical reason for it. God wants a tenth of your whatever it is. We can go into all of that. But ultimately, if you're part of this community, you're invested also financially in this place. If you'd like to give, talk with Lisa, who's our new administrator, or with myself. I can give you a giving number. You can do an AP. Or if those of you have been giving an AP for a few years now, maybe it's time to revisit it. And lastly, sharing your faith. Sharing who you are in Christ Jesus. And I'm not saying, you know, like I told you the story of that friend of mine, Joel, who had the megaphone in the middle of Farragut Square in Washington. I'm not telling you to do that. That would be interesting. And I'd like to video it if you do. But in the context of who you are and where you're at, some workplaces won't allow you to do that. Don't break those rules. But you're still a follower of Jesus. How can you show his love to the people around you? How can you share that? The same love that he gives you, how do you pour that out to the ones around you? Are you being intentional about that? Do you need help with that? These are the five areas of our church that we feel are really important. I'm going to be hammering this over the next number of weeks or months in our new membership classes. This is going to be up front because we need to be really intentional about this. We can't keep relying on the few who are serving or on you know, the two-thirds of us that come on a Sunday, because we do have, on average, a third of our people not here on a Sunday morning for whatever reason. And we can't keep relying on those same big givers who are always giving financially. We've got to do this together. And ultimately, the mission here is to bless people, to share the love of Christ Jesus with them, the love of the Father in heaven, and sharing our faith. So this morning, you have an open door before you. The challenge for you is whether you wish to walk through it. You have a choice. God loves you either way. You can choose not going through it. He will not hold that against you. It's not the tight rope, as Andrew was saying. But the challenge this morning is there is an open door. If you're a part of our community, these five things are the things that you will hold dear. And I know for some of you, there are some things there that you struggle with. And that's okay. We'll work with that. Amen? Ask the team to come up. I'm sorry, I've gone. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am sorry. Because I want to be intentional about what we do. And part of the learning for me is to respect that, as much as it is a learning for us all as we live together and share life together, be challenged by what God's doing amongst us, and changing our perspectives around what it's all about. Father God, thank you, Lord, for Andrew and Jackie and Katie, for their story that is inspiring, that is challenging. They've had many open doors before them, and they've just had a great time, well, maybe a difficult time at times as well, but going through them, Lord, and seeing what it is that you have for them. I pray you bless them in particular, Lord, because this year is going to be a busy year for all three of them. And I pray for Courtney too, who's here with us, Lord. I know that it's her intention to be heading away as well. With all that's been going on in the world, I know that's been held back a bit. But I pray you bless her and Sam as they go through that open door. Father, as we heard in Nehemiah's story, where the conviction was strong in his life that he turned and went through an open door. Wasn't ready for it, didn't know what he'd encounter on the other side. But he went through all the same. I pray that for us, Lord. There are many of us in this room who are confronted by open doors, and we've been umming and ahhing. We've been stepping back and wondering, what is there? I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not good enough. How's this going to work? Holy Spirit, I pray you give them the strength, the assurance to take that step. And may they know the wonderful peace that they'll encounter on the other side of that door. I pray that for them. I pray that for us as your church and your people. In Jesus' name.